In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God,
have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and repent. We are compassionate. Forgive us our sins, knowing and unknown. Things that we have done and things that we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you.
God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Ancient flowers appear, saints confessing how they wrestled with their guilt, their doubt and fear. Petra tells of his denying, Christ was ever in his side. Paul relates his fruitless efforts to obliterate your lie. Their sad stories are repeated in a thousand different ways, but they share one thing in common. They all end in thanks and praise for the host who has invited north and south and east and west to converge around this table where all life is fed and blessed. He blesses bread and breaks it, truth and manna from above. And he passes wine that wakens. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Your Son makes himself known to all his disciples in the breaking of the bread. Open the eyes of our faith that we may see him in his redeeming work, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated.
A reading from Acts. Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, even whom the Lord our God calls to him." And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." So those who welcomed his message were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 persons were added. The word of the Lord. We'll read this psalm. Congregation, please read the bold print. I love the Lord who has heard my voice and listened to my supplication. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I came to grief and sorrow. How shall I repay the Lord for all the good things God has done for me? I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all of God's people. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son, the child of your handmaid. You have freed me from my bonds. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all of God's people. A reading from 1 Peter. If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love, love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God. The word of the Lord.
Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now on that same day, two disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And talking with each other about all these things that had happened, While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, to be crucified. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things himself, the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I came across a quote often attributed to civil rights activist John A. Powell. "Fear can start a movement, but hope sustains it." Fear can start a movement, but hope sustains it. In the beginning of our gospel lesson, we see these two disciples do not have hope. Hope that would sustain the Jesus movement. These disciples have much of the correct information about Jesus, but they don't have hope. They were looking for something else. They were expecting something else. They utter those words, "But we had hoped." But we had hoped that there was that he was the one to redeem Israel. And then they go on to tell the story about the witness of the empty tomb. But no hope. There are many Christians that have all the right information about Jesus. They have the right story about Jesus. They profess it regularly. They can tell it when asked. But without hope, there's no transformation. Without hope, there's nothing to sustain. In fact, I believe what we're seeing in many congregations in North America is having the information about Jesus, the story of Jesus, but no hope to sustain the movement. No hope to maintain the institutions because they're drowning in hopelessness. Fear can start a movement, but hope sustains it. We've seen what fear can do when it penetrates from the world into congregational life. Fear can do a number of things. It can stimulate passion. Fear can stimulate engagement. But not only is that movement not sustained, how often have we seen in congregations fear cause division and even separation as a result? The narrative that we get in the garden points, we love to point fingers at one another. And that might be part of our impulse in how we can use fear to ignite certain movements. And in speaking about the garden itself, could the road to Emmaus be inviting us to understand what it means to be part of God's new creation in Jesus Christ? There are some commentators that say that two disciples on the road to Emmaus are married. This couple traveling with Jesus, albeit unknowingly, through a dark, broken, and fallen world, only to experience new creation at the end of their journey. As Adam and Eve eat the forbidden fruit in the garden, the meal itself being a testament to our rebellion and a sign of our death, the disciples on the road to Emmaus receive a meal that gives them life and fills them with hope. Shouldn't be a surprise why I love this gospel lesson. Where are they encountering Jesus? In the scriptures? In the word? As they're talking with Jesus along the way? And then in the meal, in what we call the sacrament of Holy Communion. And that new creation piece is a reminder of how relational the gospel is. And how walking with people, how community is an integral part of what it means to be part of the new creation, to be made new in Jesus Christ. But we cannot be sustained by fear. How can we walk with anybody? How can we talk to anybody if we're told to be afraid of them? How can we walk with people? How can we talk with people if they are the scapegoat for all the problems in our world today? We talked about John's gospel last week and how the disciples were locked in that house with fear. It prevents us from living into the reality of being a new creature in Jesus Christ and being joined to the risen Christ. But for those disciples on the road to Emmaus, their fear is transformed. As we heard in our gospel lesson, as they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went to stay with them. There are many things we could say just about this part alone. First thing I want to point out, because I'm a liturgy nerd, is that line is from evening prayer, right? We sung it throughout Advent Lent. "Stay with us now, Lord, for it is evening, and the day is almost over." But it's unsafe for them to be traveling at night. They extend care and concern for their fellow traveler, provide safe lodging. They bake bread together. We talk often about how we encounter Christ in the Word and in the sacrament. And particularly as Lutherans, that's with a gathered community. It's in our relationships that we see Jesus. When fear prevents us from loving our neighbor, when fear prevents us from loving the other, we will walk past Jesus in our daily pilgrimage.
and we will also allow Jesus to walk past us. But also notice what happens to these disciples when they see Jesus in the breaking of the bread. That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he's appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. That same hour. I just said it was unsafe for them to be traveling at night. That's why they invited Jesus to stay with them. But that same hour, where it would be ill-advised for them to travel. Now, I will say, they always do things in groups, if you notice that. Nobody's doing this alone, right? At least two by two. They should be afraid for their safety, but they want to go to Jerusalem to tell the others. And it is a message of joy that they have seen the crucified and risen Jesus. Nobody in that group, even when they hear that Simon had seen Jesus, has a message of fear, no threats, but an encounter with the crucified and risen Christ that fills them with hope. And in this meal, Jesus takes, blesses, and breaks bread and gives it to them. He does those exact same things in the Last Supper. He does it when he feeds the 5,000. And in Luke's gospel in particular, Jesus has a huge appetite. Huge appetite. Robert Karras points out that Jesus is either going to a meal, at a meal, or coming from a meal. So being gathered with people, not traveling in our journey of faith in isolation, but gathered with people, and at times gathered around a meal. What do we do at meals? Share stories. We open up about what's going on in our lives, about our vulnerabilities, about our laments, the things that we're just worried about or frustrated with. We also share our joys. Jesus is inviting us to something there with people. To get with others and be in relationship with them. And one of the most intimate ways we can do that is when we break bread together. And I believe that American life, in particular, has been incredibly isolating over the years. But the way of Jesus, being part of God's new creation, is calling us to be countercultural. And that understanding that the living out of the gospel is to be relational with other people. Invited to break bread with those not just in our own circle, but as the new creation in Christ, barriers are broken down. We extend our table to welcome others. And we also accept invitations from others. The congregational life that we're accustomed to in our culture is centered often on programs and events. Now, those things can cultivate relationships for sure, but we can get caught up in the need to produce programs and events that are based on the success is based on turnout, right? And then we burn out. Why? Because what we're bringing to the table is information about Jesus, and that alone doesn't sustain us. And let's be honest, how often have you been at a church event or a worship service out of guilt, right? Or somebody guilting you or other people coming because they might feel guilted to being a part of it? That might get people to respond, but it's not going to last, right? We could even check off the box and say, well, that event was successful, but who knows why they came? Fear can start a movement, but hope sustains it. With hope that we have in the crucified and risen Christ, we're not called to start anything, but to carry on a witness and hope that we have for the world in Jesus that has been sustained by the faithful for centuries. With hope, we can leave this place that Christ has called us to, that Christ has gathered us here to be a part of this community. And encountering our Lord in the Word and this holy meal, we, like these two disciples, can go into the world not afraid, but to go to a world that is afraid, and we can give hope to a weary world. With hope, we can listen to what others have to offer. Think about that insight that we get from this gospel. They listen to the traveler along the way to give them insight I think sometimes we reduce Christianity, particularly in the West, to what I have to give to the other, not what the other can give to me. And along our daily pilgrimages, that other can be Jesus talking through that person to you, to give you what you need. It's in those relationships that we are going to encounter Jesus. But we have to understand that fear can start a movement and hope sustains it. Hope sustains us. Hope sustains our witness. The hope that we have in our crucified and risen Lord is that He's among us and overcomes the fear of this world and wants to instill in us a sense of unity where the world wants to create division. But that's the new creation, bringing God's creation together. The hope that we have in our crucified and risen Jesus enables us to see God even when we're dealing with disappointment, right? Let's be honest. How often are we disappointed in life? But the hope we have in Jesus, we can see God's presence there. We're disappointed now, but we can be sustained. We can wake up tomorrow. We can go out tomorrow knowing that God will carry us along the way, knowing that God and Jesus Christ will walk with us along the way. The kingdom of God and God's justice that breaks into this world, we can see happen when we just walk with each other, when we just walk with our neighbor, when we walk with the other, when we break bread together, when we break bread with our neighbor and the other. We can see Christ present in all those relationships. It's a big task at times because it's overcoming that sinful impulse to be divided. But it doesn't take a big event or a big program. We do this in our daily walk where we can see Christ in all people. See them in our daily pilgrimage. And in the communion that we have with one another, we encounter the living God. And we have hope that sustains us now and forever. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Set all hearts burning,
that all creation with you arise.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things are made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again, glory, to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. United in the hope and joy of the resurrection, let us pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Ever-present God, you make yourself known in the breaking of the bread and in the bonds of community. Reveal yourself to us in the faces of all we meet. Strengthened by your body and blood, let us boldly live out your good news. Hear us, O God. We pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Adam, our pastor and conference dean, all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ. Hear us, O God. As we know you in the breaking of the bread, we know you in the grains of the field and the flowing waters. Care for the earth you lovingly create. Strengthen those who safeguard threatened land and water. Hear us, O God. You are the authority to whom we dedicate our lives, like Tohoyo Hokkaido Kagawa, whom we commemorate today. Help us keep the needs of those most vulnerable at the forefront of our community. Move us to care for any who are disregarded or oppressed. Hear us, O God. Mothering God, you feed and comfort those who hunger. Open the hearts of those who hoard resources and lead them to share your abundance. We pray for anyone hungering for your comforting presence this day, especially Charlie, Justin, Tracy, Mike, Donna, Joellen, Maddie, Pat, Dixon, Pat and Charlie, Debbie, Candace, Cheryl, Barb, Audrey, Jerry, Phyllis, Dave, Marcus, Ella, Cheryl, Rick, Janet, Vanessa, Lucas, John, Kelly, Diane, Carol, and our homebound. Hear us, O God. You pour out your love on those who are oppressed. Support and comfort anyone who is marginalized by gender or sexuality and those whose stories are not believed. Form this community to listen faithfully and speak honestly in our ministry together. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We remember with thanksgiving all your beloved saints, as you have raised them to eternal life. Abide with us in your promise of resurrection. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Rejoicing in the victory of Christ's resurrection, we lift our prayers and praise to you, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share with one another a sign of God's peace.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, ruler of heaven and earth. Day by day you shower us with blessings. As you have raised us to new life in Christ, give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and to respond to those in need, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, a true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so, with Mary Magdalene and Peter, and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy One, Mighty One, Merciful One, we give you thanks for you are the one who brings life out of death. In the beginning, when there was nothing, you spoke and the whole universe came into being. You quieted chaos and pierced the darkness with your life-giving light. When waves of wickedness threatened to drown your world, you sent the flood to destroy sin and save your good creation. When your people cried out to you from the depths of slavery in Egypt, you gave us a meal and set us free. When we were dry bones in the valley, you sent your life-giving spirit to raise us up and to put a new heart and spirit in us. And in these last days, you have given us Jesus, your Son, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, who willingly gave his life on the cross to show us the fullness of your love, and who rose from the grave, destroying the power of death. And now you invite us to this feast of your victory over the grave. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Pour out your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of our Lord and of his resurrection upon us and upon these gifts of bread and wine, that we might receive our Lord with a living faith as he comes to us in his Holy Supper. Through him, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit in your Holy Church, now and forever. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thine will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. When he was at the table with them, He took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. You may be seated. This time I'd like to invite forward our communion assistants and those who are participating in Children's Church this morning. Distribution of the sacrament will be continuous. There'll be two stations for consecrated wine. Grape juice will be on the pulpit side. I'll be in the center aisle with the consecrated host. An usher will release you forward with trays of glass cups. Just receive a glass cup as you come forward. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here and he offers himself to you. Body of Christ given for 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 you. The body of Christ given for you. Body of Christ given for you. Body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. Body of Christ given for you. Body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. Body of Christ given for you.
And drink.
The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. 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 The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you.
And drink his cup.
Body of Christ given for you. May the Lord bless you and keep you and bring you to everlasting life. Body of Christ given for you. 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 The body of Christ given for you. Body of Christ given for you. Body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you.
Of love.
out of the way, Peggy. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. Body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. Rise. You who have been filled with the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, go tell the whole world of his love.
Talents and tongues employ, reaching out with a shout of joy. Bread is broken, the wine is poured. Christ is spoken and seen and heard. Jesus lives again, earth can breathe again. Pass the word around, woes abound. Jesus lives again, earth can breathe again. Pass the word around, woes abound. Christ is able to make us one. At the table he sets the tone, teaching people to live, to bless, in word and in deed express. Jesus lives again, earth can breathe again. Pass the word around, woes abound. Jesus lives again, earth can breathe again. Pass the word around, woes abound. Jesus calls us and sends us out, bearing fruit in a world of doubt. Gives us love to tell, bread to share. God Emmanuel everywhere. Jesus lives again, earth can breathe again. Pass the word around, woes abound. Jesus lives again, earth can breathe again. Pass the word around, woes abound.
Let us pray. Life-giving God, in the mystery of Christ's resurrection, you send light to conquer darkness, water to give new life, and the bread of life to nourish your people. Send us forth as witnesses to your Son's resurrection, that we may show your glory to all the world. Through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen.
We do have an announcement for the good of the community.
On behalf of the Finance and Stewardship Committee, we just wanted to verbally thank all of you for your participation in Project 621. Unlike Hollywood sequels, Project 621 is a success. First, Scott and Clary Ellen did a lot of work on this. They provided the communication, the coordination, really made the ministry pretty fun, so big thanks to them. And then second, just to all of you, thank you so much for all of your contributions. We had two SUVs packed to, you know, top to bottom. To quote Clary Ellen, you couldn't even fit a toothpick in. So that was the food contribution. And then also there was like more than $260 worth of cash contributions. And the cash contributions are really significant. The Cardington Community Food Pantry can, mail the food or deliver the food for 3 cents a pound. And so that's like huge. $260 is huge. If my math is right, at 3 cents a pound, every $60 would be literally a ton of food. So $260 is 4 tons of food that was able to be delivered. So that's just fantastic. And then I wanted to call them fun facts, but it's really not fun facts because it really means that there's a lot of need in our community. So these facts about the Cardington Community Food Pantry in 2022, they provided 40% of all food distributed in Morrow County, and this is expected to grow to about 50% of all of the food provided, because in 2023 there's two food pantries that are closing, so the ministry is super important. They purchased 90 tons of food. 90 tons, that's a lot of food. Households using the Cardington Community Food Pantry on average came about 5 times a year. The need for these services is increasing. In 2022, they saw over a 30% increase in the need. In terms of support, there are 8 churches that currently support the Cardington Community Food Pantry, one of which is ours. And they also received $24,000 in grants. So then, you know, there's ways to contribute. You all just participated in one, but if you're pinched for funds and maybe want to support with your time, Cardington Community Food Pantry has, yesterday I said over 5,000 people in Claryland. It's like, no, 5,000 hours of time was donated to the Cardington Community Food Pantry. And that's not a small gift either. That's about $175,000 in salaries if they were paid, which they're not. So again, just thank you, thank you, thank you for your support in the Project 621.
As Christ sends us out into the world, let's recite the mission God has given us. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Alleluia, Jesus is risen. Trumpets resounding in glorious light. Splendor the Lamb, heaven forever. Oh, what a miracle God has in sight. Jesus is risen and we shall arise. Give God the glory, hallelujah. Walking the way, Christ in the center, telling the story to open our eyes, breaking our bread, giving us glory. Jesus, our blessing, our constant surprise. Jesus is risen and we shall arise. Give God the glory, hallelujah. Jesus the vine, we are the branches, life and the spirit, the fruit of the tree. Heaven to earth, Christ to the people, gift of the future now flowing to me. Jesus is risen. when we shall arise. Give God the glory, alleluia. Weeping me gone, silent. Grave be open, hold us in wonder, for us in life.
Jesus is
risen, and we shall arise. Give God the glory, alleluia. City of God, Eastern forever. Hold in Jerusalem, Jesus the Lamb, River of Life, saints and archangels, sing with creation, to God the I Am. Jesus is risen, and we shall arise. Give God the glory, hallelujah.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.